Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air, online, and on Facebook, and today we continue in our study through the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace study guide. We'll be picking up on page 57 at the heading, Forgiveness Defined. And because it's a study edition of Basic Gospel, the phone lines are not open today. So let's get underway, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. I think we're talking about one of the most important realities and truths as far as the gospel message is concerned, and the one that benefits us as far as the forgiveness of our sins. Yes. There is no way to really grow in your Christian life until you've settled this issue. It's that important. It's that critical to really know what Christ has done. And so today we really want to look at the word, the Greek word for forgiveness, and we want to ask the question, what actually happens when God forgives us of our sins? You know, when you and I forgive one another, it's simply through words. You know, you've offended me, I choose to forgive you. But as far as God is concerned, when he says those words, there's lots of actions underneath. And today we're going to explore what those actions were, specifically in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Yes. Now, the Greek word that we see used in the New Testament is aphiemi. Is that correct?
Aphiemi.
Okay, aphiemi.
Close, but no cigar.
Yes, you've schooled me on that several times. I'm just not learning the lesson. But that is the Greek word. And when you look it up in the New Testament, and you go to like a Strong's Concordance or something, you will see that it is used 133 times in the New Testament in various forms. But in only, I think, 36 of those occasions is it actually translated forgive or forgiven or forgiveness. Mm-hmm. So just a percentage, 30% of the times that it's used is it translated forgiveness. There are other times, like, for example, in 1 Corinthians 7, where it says a husband must not divorce his wife. That word divorce is the Greek word for forgiveness. And so what does a husband do when he divorces his wife? He puts her away.
Yes.
He sends her away. Well, that's the concept. That's the idea of forgiveness. That's what it means. There's another place where it says in Matthew 27:50, for example, and when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. That phrase gave up is the word forgiveness. His spirit departed from him. And again, that really tells us a story as to what forgiveness is all about, what God actually does when he forgives our sins. So when you look it up in the Complete Word Study Dictionary, you see that the primary meaning of the word forgive is to send forth or away, or to let go from oneself. It also means to dismiss or to put away, to let go from one's power or possession, to let go free, to remove, and to let go from one's further notice, care, attendance, or occupancy. That is to leave or let alone. So it's a very rich word, isn't it? And there's lots of meaning to what God actually does when he forgives our sins. And we started talking a little bit about that last week. And the first thing that he does is he removes our sins from us. And that's a part of the definition. So it's a removing of our sins from us. And we see that in 2 Corinthians 5:21. And that's a passage that we quote here quite often. And if you haven't started or underlined it in your verse, in your Bible, I encourage you to do so. It's 2 Corinthians 5:21. And it reads this way, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So what did this picture or foreshadow according to 2 Corinthians 5:21? The fact that God removed our sins from us and placed them on Jesus. In the Old Testament, that's what happened when blood was shed. There was a removal, a picture of the removal of sin from the people and placing on the sacrificial animal.
Yes.
Okay? So here, God takes our sins, removes them from us, and places them on Jesus. Now, here's a great exchange. Our sins are removed from us, placed on Jesus. And in exchange for that, Jesus gives us his righteousness. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That's a pretty good exchange, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a deal. Absolutely.
And the fact that we've been declared righteous is proof that our sins have been forgiven. So if God had left one of our sins unpunished, he would have never been able to declare us righteous or to give to us the very righteousness of Christ. So the fact that he's done that is proof that our sins have been forgiven. So he removes our sins and he places them on Christ Jesus. That is such an important concept to know and to understand, that our sins no longer define who we are. That's why Paul could write to the Corinthians that we have been reconciled to God through the shed blood of Christ, and he's given us this ministry of reconciliation, that God is no longer counting our sins against us. Why? Because he's removed them from us and placed them on Christ. Mm-hmm. That's the reason that he did that. So in exchange for our sins, Jesus makes us righteous. He gives us his righteousness. Now, in the Old Covenant, there was certainly a problem with the sacrificial system.
Yes.
As the writer of Hebrews says, that was a shadow. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the reality. And here's why it was a shadow. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 4 and 11, it says, "It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin." So those sacrifices performed a function.
Yes.
They had a purpose. They provided a temporary sense of forgiveness and release from guilt. But those sacrifices couldn't take away our sins.
No.
Only the blood of Jesus could do that. And that's why he appeared. And that's exactly what John wrote in 1 John chapter 3, verse 5. "But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins, and in him is no sin." So what has Christ done? What has God done with our sins? He's removed them from us, and he has placed them on Christ Jesus. That's the first action as far as forgiveness is concerned. That's why the psalmist could write in Psalm 103:12 that our sins have been removed from us as far as the east is from the west. Yeah. And that's an infinite distance,
isn't it?
And boy, what a beautiful picture of this removal of sin from us. And boy, that's what had to happen for us to be forgiven.
Right. Yeah.
So that is good news. So the first thing that God does is to remove our sins from us once and for all. The next thing he does is that he sends them away. And we have a beautiful picture of this in the Old Testament, don't we?
Oh, we do. And it's called the Day of Atonement. And you've got to understand, there, of all of the major feasts, the Day of Atonement is, in some ways, was the most important because it was the culmination of the sin year, if you want to describe it that way. All year long, people had been coming to the tabernacle or the temple and confessing their sins over the sacrifices, and the priests had, you know, were carrying this blood into the temple, and something had to happen. And God designated a day, one day a year, called the Day of Atonement, where he was going to deal with that stuff once and for all, at least for that year. Of course, the blood of bulls and goats couldn't take away sin. Of course, the high priest had to offer sacrifice for his own sin because he was human just like them. But the picture still counts. And so in Leviticus 16, you get this picture. And it starts with verse 2, with God telling the high priest, "Don't just come wandering in here anytime you want." That's a little bit different than our invitation now, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Come in any time you like. And then in verses 11 through 14, the high priest goes through this whole ritual about offering for his own sins. And then in verse 15, he offers more sacrifices for the people's sin, as if they haven't offered enough sacrifice already. Then in 16 through 19, he atones for the most holy place, the holy place, and the altar itself. And so all of this sin, it's like he's in there with a big broom, and he's sweeping up all of this sin that has been captured by the tabernacle or the temple for the whole year, and he brings it out, and in verse 20, this is what it says. When Aaron has finished making atonement for the most holy place, the tent of meeting, and the altar, he shall bring forward the live goat. He is to lay both hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the wickedness and rebellion of the Israelites, all their sins, and to put them on the goat's head. He shall send the goat away into the wilderness in the care of someone appointed for the task. The goat will carry on itself all their sins to a remote place, and the man shall release it in the wilderness. This goat is what we know as the scapegoat. Early on in the chapter, he talks about having two goats. One goat is sacrificed as a sin offering. The other goat is the live goat, the scapegoat, and is sent into the wilderness bearing all the sins. That goat becoming sin. It had no sin of its own. It's becoming sin because it's being piled on and then sent away. And the other name for this scapegoat is the goat of removal. And so God is setting up this definition of forgiveness thousands of years before the Greeks invent the word aphiemi, which means to send away or to get rid of. And so there in the Day of Atonement is a picture of God saying, this is what I'm going to do one of these days. Hang on, Messiah's coming. He is going to bear all of your sin. He's going to be a high priest who doesn't need to offer a sacrifice for himself. He's just going to offer a sacrifice. It's the perfect sacrifice. And all of that sin is going to be piled on him. And guess where he's going to die? Outside of Jerusalem. He's not going to die at the temple. They're going to take him outside of the city and kill him there. And all of your sin is going to be removed by Jesus outside of the city.
Yeah. Wow.
So he's both the lamb that was sacrificed and the scapegoat that takes the sin away.
Yes.
And it's just such a powerful picture. So this word forgive isn't just a lip service word.
No.
It's not just, hey, I'm going to sweep this under the carpet. It is built on top of the work of Christ to remove our sins from us and then to take them away once and for all. It is such a powerful, powerful picture. And if we will get that in our minds, we will live in utter thankfulness every day of our lives for what Christ has accomplished on our behalf.
Absolutely. Wow, what a story. What a story. Thank you, Richard, for that visual. Friends, you're listening to the Basic Gospel Friday Study Series from the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace Study Guide. Now, if you'd like to end your struggle, if you'd like to get full assurance of your forgiveness, experience victory over sin, and see the power at work that raised Jesus from the dead, it's all there in Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, Bob Christopher's wonderful book. And by the way, Amazon has an amazing offer right now, the paperback edition of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, at just $2. Just $2. That's correct. Only $2 for the paperback edition of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace right now. To get this very special price, just log on to SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com and click the Amazon link. Again, you'll find it through the Amazon link at SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com. And it's interesting, Bob and Richard, that all the reviewers gave it a 5-star rating. I think in this political season that we're in right now, that's a pretty strong endorsement.
Yes, it is. And I hope many people will take advantage of this offer. Buy them in quantity. I mean, you can buy 4 or 5 and have gifts for people for Christmas. You can share them with friends that you want to share the gospel with. So this is a wonderful offer to take advantage of. And if a lot of people will do it, that will really drive the rankings of that book and make it an Amazon bestseller.
Yeah, and which makes it more visible to other people.
Absolutely, and I think that would be a wonderful, wonderful thing. So take advantage of this $2 offer. Go to SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com, click the Amazon link, and get your copies and buy them in bulk.
Yes, indeed.
Buy them in bulk. Well, back to our lesson, and it's such an important lesson, and the reason I want this book out and into people's hands is because we're talking about this in the book.
Yes.
I mean, that's what we're studying today, the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace book and the study guide. And we really go into these things in detail. So it's a wonderful resource to help you grow and to really sink your roots deep into the gospel of Jesus Christ. So Jesus removed our sins. He sent them away, outside of the city, and that's just a beautiful picture. So these sins have been removed from us. They've been sent away once and for all. And it's important for us to realize that that could have never happened under the old covenant.
No.
That those sacrifices could not do what the sacrifice of Jesus did. Here's what the writer of Hebrews said again. Otherwise, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshipers would have been cleansed once for all and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. So could the blood of bulls and goats cleanse the people once and for all?
No.
Absolutely not. Only the blood of Jesus could do that. And because the blood of Jesus has done that, we no longer have to feel guilty for our sins. They were judged, they were punished, and now we're on the other side of the cross, raised to walk in the newness of life. So forgiveness is what frees us to walk in this newness of life. So in forgiving us, he has removed our sins from us, he has sent them away. And the third thing that he does, and this is a choice, an incredible choice, he chooses to remember them no more. There was a day that he remembered our sins. It was 2,000 years ago on a hill called Calvary. He saw every single sin, and he judged it to the extent, the full extent of the law, and he meted out the punishment that those sins deserved, which was death. So he's dealt with every single one. There wasn't one that went unnoticed. There wasn't one that he didn't see and fully judge and fully punish. But now that that's been accomplished, he chooses to remember our sins no more. So here's what the writer of Hebrews says again. So we're spending a lot of time in the book of Hebrews. Then he adds, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. So he's choosing. It's not like his, somebody has done something in his brain to alleviate that memory aspect.
Yeah.
He's choosing not to pay attention to those sins. Mm-hmm. Why? Because he already did. They were front and center at one point in time. Now they're not.
Yeah.
It's been dealt with. There's something else that's front and center. And that is you, and that is me. We're front and center in his mind. And he is working in and through us to conform us to the image of Christ so that we can enjoy the same happiness that he does.
Yeah.
Wow. What a goal that he wants us to experience the inner joy that he has of just being God. He wants us to enjoy that inner contentment, that inner happiness. And that's what's important to him now. He removed the thing that was preventing that, sin. So that's gone. That's been dealt with. He's remembering it no more, so that he is now focusing on our development as his children.
Yeah. Can you imagine? We look at Jesus on the cross, and that's proper. But think about God the Father while Jesus is on the cross and all of heaven seeing sin become focused in that one moment of time. Now, they've got the eternal view. They see every sin, and it's focused in that one moment, and then it explodes because Jesus died and it's gone. No wonder there's rejoicing in heaven when someone accepts Jesus.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So Jesus removed your sins. He sent them away. And he remembers them no more. In verse 18 of Hebrews 10, he said, where these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary. In this new covenant that we live in today, there is no provision for sacrifice.
No. None.
Why? Because Jesus made the sacrifice, the once for all final sacrifice. God was satisfied with the work of Jesus on our behalf. There's no longer necessary a need for a sacrifice. It's done. It's done. The only sacrifice that we can offer up are lips that praise his name.
Absolutely.
That's all we can do is to say thank you.
Why do we keep trying to invent sacrifices?
I have no earthly idea, but we do.
We do.
I think it's a part of that guilt inside of us. Mm-hmm. It's a part of that fear of punishment that's inside of us. And it's a lack of understanding of what genuine forgiveness is all
yes.
about. Like I said, we keep bringing God down to our level. So this is how we forgive one another, so this must be how God forgives mm-hmm. us. Well, that's not the case.
No.
We need to be elevated to God's level. We need to understand forgiveness as he sees it, as he extends it. That changes everything for us. So this word forgiveness has a lot of action on God's part underneath it
yeah.
that it sits upon. So when we say that our sins have been forgiven by God, we can know that they've been removed, sent away, and remembered no more. That's good news. Now, here's one other passage that we need to look at, and it is in Romans chapter 8, verse 3. For what the law was powerless to do, again, the law was weak and useless. That's what the writer of Hebrews said. The law could not make us perfect. The law could not cleanse us. Once and for all, the law could not take away our burden of guilt.
Yeah.
It could not do any of those things. So for what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh.
Yeah.
That's good news, isn't
it? Sure is.
And he goes on to say that because of this, the righteous requirements of the law have been fully met in us. So if those righteous requirements of the law have been fully met in us, is there anything left for us to do?
No.
All we can do is rest in the forgiveness that we have. And that is such good news. And gosh, all of us here on our entire team, if we could have any prayer answered, it would be that those who listen to this broadcast will come to this point and rest in the finality of the cross.
Yes.
Will come to that point and realize that their sins have been removed, sent away, and they are being remembered no more.
Yeah.
Now, if we want proof that God remembers our sins no more, there is a great chapter in the Bible that gives us that proof. It is Hebrews 11. In that chapter, we see stories of the saints of old, by faith Noah, by faith Enoch, by faith Abraham, by faith Moses, by faith all of these people did various things, and God commended them for their faith. So he was telling their story through this lens of by grace through faith in Jesus.
Yeah.
He was no longer remembering their sins. They were people just like us, mm-hmm. warts and all. I mean, and in the Old Testament, we saw them. We know that Abraham was a liar. We know that Moses was a murderer. We know that David was an adulterer. And yet, because of the finished work of Jesus on the cross and the fact that God, in forgiving us, chooses to remember our sins no more, when he tells their story in Hebrews 11, it's all about their life of faith. The
yes.
fact that they've been raised to walk in the newness of life. Now, that hadn't been accomplished for them as of yet, but for us, that's true. We've been raised to walk in the newness of life. Our sins have been taken away. And when God tells our story, it's going to be the same thing. He's going to commend us for our faith. We don't have to fear if there's going to be a big video screen in the sky where everybody can see our sins. Because that will never happen. That happened at the cross 2,000 years ago. And good news, folks, God remembers our sins no more.
Absolutely. Wow, what good news. Friends, we hope you've enjoyed and benefited from the study edition of Basic Gospel. Don't forget that incredible deal on the book Simple Gospel, Simply Grace by Bob Christopher for only $2 by Amazon. And you'll find it when you visit SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com. Just click the Amazon link at that site. And again, that Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Well, again, thanks for being with us today for Basic Gospel, everybody. Now, for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again on Monday for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We hope you have a wonderful weekend in and because of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.